Pleasure and fortune to be amongst all on this blessed evening in which we are celebrating Janamastami, that sacred pastime of the Lord wherein he appears within this material world for the purpose of extending his infinite mercy upon all living beings. It is said in the Brahma Sutra, Parashya Shaktir Vividai Vishuyate, that the Lord has multifarious energies. Of these energies of the Lord, there are three that are prominent. The internal potency, which is the spiritual abode, that realm beyond the limitations of time, where there is no birth, old age, disease, or death, that place where everyone is eternally youthful, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his Satchidananda, divine form, is forever exchanging intimate ecstasies of love with all of his devotees. It is that Vaikuntha, or kingdom of God, which is the ultimate perfection of everyone's existence. It is also the natural inhabitants for all living beings. The internal energy is that place where no one has consideration of exploitation or enjoyment, where everyone simply wants to serve and be enjoyed by the Supreme Absolute Truth. And in that state of selfless love is the ultimate pleasure of the soul. And then there is the external energy, which is the underlying power which creates, maintains, and annihilates the material existence, where due to the all-pervading influence of time, everything is temporary. Everything from the moment of its conception is leading at the path of destruction, moment after moment. It is a place where four miseries are inherent: birth, old age, disease, and death. The threefold miseries, miseries caused by one's own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural disturbances, are imminent and could potentially can spoil our lives at any second. This external energy is a place where everyone is trying to exploit and enjoy under the illusion that I am this body and those things in relationship to this body are mine. And the third potency is the marginal energy. Every spirit soul or jivatma, every living being, is in essence the jivatma, the living force within all the 8,004,000 species of life is the jivatma. And this jivatma is part and parcel of the Paramatma, or Krishna. Quantitatively one with God, in that we are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, but qualitatively different, in the sense that we are infinitesimal parts of the Supreme Godhead. Just as the sun ray is qualitatively one with the sun, but is always subordinate and as the infinitesimal part of the planet of the sun. And the natural place of residence for the Jivatma is under the transcendental jurisdiction of the internal potency of the spiritual world. But the Jivatma, being of the same nature as Krishna himself or Paramatma, has independence, surat, or free will. And when the living entity wants to enjoy separate from his relationship with God, we come into the realm of the external energy or the material world. And for every action we perform within this material world, there will be an equal corresponding reaction. If we do good, we will get good results. If we do evil, we will get results that will fructify in misery in due course of time. And there are 14 planetary systems within this material existence in each universe, where there are various forms of enjoyment and sufferings that come upon the living beings. But Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Abrama bhuvana loka punar avartanorjana mam upetya punara janma dukalayam ashashvatam. From the highest attainment of material prosperity, Brahmaloka, to the lowest hellish existence, everything within this entire material creation is a miserable situation, because underlying it all is old age, disease, and death, and then another birth. So Krishna, out of his unlimited, causeless mercy upon all of us, he descends into this world again and again and again in various incarnations for the purpose of reclaiming us, inviting us back into his internal energy, back to home, back to Godhead. Krishna explains in Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanara dharma sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to protect the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion, I will descend myself again and again and again in every millennium. And when Krishna comes, he enacts such beautiful, wonderful pastimes to attract the hearts of all living beings back to his loving service. And these pastimes that the Lord performs are as eternal as the Lord himself. Because the absolute truth is different than the relative truths of this world. If we hear the history of a great person of the past, the history is simply a remembrance which is very much different than the person who is long dead and gone. You cannot reciprocate with someone who has died 5 centuries ago, even though we may hear what that person has done. But in absolute realm, Krishna, the supreme absolute truth, is not different than his name, than his instructions, or than the wonderful pastimes or leelas he has performed. Therefore, when we hear of the transcendental appearance and activities of the Lord with a proper understanding, we directly participate in that leela and become purified. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tattvataha Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorajuna. One who understands the transcendental nature, the transcendental truth of my appearance and activities, will never take birth in this miserable existence of birth and death, but will attain the supreme abode of the Lord. So great holy days like Janmashtami are very, very important for our spiritual progress. The Lord descends into this world to bestow His mercy and to bring us all back to the realm of real happiness and spiritual bliss. Is that not a time of celebration? People in this world, we take birth due to the forcings of the laws of karma. Karmana daiva netrena. Due to your previous pious and sinful activities, you are forced by the laws of nature to enter into a particular womb of a particular species of life. And you have to endure the great tribulations of living in the womb. And then somehow or other you come out at a particular time. And people celebrate very gloriously such birthdays. But when the Supreme Lord, the all-attractive object of everyone's love, descends into this world to give the greatest benediction to all living beings, that is the time for the greatest celebration. Therefore, Krishna's birthday is the most auspicious time to celebrate for all living beings in all of creation. And Krishna reciprocates by how we show our gratitude for His mercy. He has come to this world to speak the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all scriptures, which gives the practical process by which we could live within society today and at the same time re-spiritualize our lives and find real peace and attain victory over illusion. Krishna has appeared to perform His wonderful Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka pastimes that are so charming and sweet and so full of dynamic spiritual excitement that they capture the hearts. And simply by hearing about them, detachment from sinful activities and attachment to loving service to the Lord is awakened. It is to this great supreme personality of Godhead who we are eternally grateful to. And Janmashtami is the time to show our gratitude to Krishna. And what does Krishna need from us? We are making so many nice offerings, but Krishna is not in need of food. Krishna is the supplier of all food. He is the creator of everything that exists. What can we offer to Krishna? Does He need our money? He is Lakshmipati. He is the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune herself, by whose mercy we have anything. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta prayachati. Krishna simply wants us to accept His mercy and reciprocate with His love. That's all. And whatever we offer to Krishna is just meant to be an expression of our gratitude and our desire to please Him and serve Him. And on these holy days, we are very, very strongly reminded of this most essential purpose of our life, to reciprocate with the mercy of the Lord with grateful hearts and serve Him with love and devotion. That is bhakti. And by doing so, Krishna explains, we will attain the spiritual world. The spiritual world is beyond this material existence. But at the same time, it is existing within the heart of every living entity. Because beside the jivatma, the real you within this body, the source of consciousness, is the paramatma. How kind and loving a father is Krishna. Wherever we may go in our restless wanderings throughout this creation, he always sits right beside us, ready for us to turn to him, and he's willing to give us all the ecstatic experiences of the spiritual world as soon as we wholeheartedly say, Krishna, I am your servant. I am the servant of your servants. There are many incarnations of Krishna who have appeared within this world. Lord Matsya, Lord Varaha, Lord Narasingha, Lord Vamanadev, Lord Parasuram, Lord Sri Ramchandra. According to Brahma Samhita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chang Shakalam Pungsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the original source of all incarnations. And hardly 5,000 years ago, that supreme original form that is the source of everything that exists descended in his original personal form right here in this great land of Bharatvarsha. Actually, the Shastra describes that Krishna appears once every day of Brahma in his original form. And a day of Brahma is several billions of years. So Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, would sometimes say, just recently, only 5,000 years ago, Krishna appeared and performed his wonderful pastimes right on this earth. Krishna appeared within the prison cell of Kamsa as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Devaki and Vasudev were very, very great devotees. In fact, for many births, the Lord descended as their child. And because of the cruel and wicked nature of Kamsa, the brother of Devaki, they were imprisoned within the palace of Kamsa. You all know the story, how he was riding on his chariot, taking his sister and brother-in-law to their home on the very evening of their wedding ceremony, where there was great festivities and joyful singing and dancing. But a prophetic voice sounded in the sky and warned Kamsa that the eighth child of your sister Devaki will be the cause of your death. His friendly behavior ceased to exist. He took her by the hair and ready to sever her head with his sword. But somehow Vasudev convinced him that I will promise any child that is born to me, I will give to you. You have no fear of your sister. So somehow Kamsa spared her life. But after being warned by various sources, out of fear, he kept them always in prison. Six children consecutively he ruthlessly murdered. The seventh child was Lord Baladev, the first expansion of Godhead, who appeared within Devaki's womb just to prepare for the advent of Krishna. But by the power of Yoga Maya, Balaram was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini and appeared that Devaki had miscarriage, and then Krishna entered her womb. And a beautiful divine light was emanating from her body, and her bodily features became so beautiful. Everyone was happy except Kamsa. He knew, my enemy has appeared. The demigods descended into that prison cell to offer their prayers to the Lord within the womb of Devaki. The Lord is unborn. Simply out of his divine will, he appears within the womb of Devaki. It is not that the sun is born of the eastern horizon. The sun simply chooses to appear to our vision through the eastern horizon. And in the same way, the Lord simply chooses to appear in his eternal form through the womb of his own intimate, loving devotee. On the night when the moon was not to be seen, Krishna simply appeared outside of the womb of Devaki in his beautiful form of Lord Narayan. He was holding the four symbols of Vishnu and decorated with elegant jewels and crown. And he mercifully bestowed this darshan on Vasudeva and Devaki, who offered their prayers. And he told them, I will now appear according to your desire in a two-armed form of a beautiful child. And you should take me across the river Jamuna to the home of Yashoda and Nanda and exchange me with the little girl child that is born of Yashoda. On that night, Vasudeva brought Krishna across the stormy waves of the river Jamuna. And in Gokul Mahavan, he placed him very carefully in the bed of Yashoda. And that morning, when Yashoda awoke, she saw this most beautiful, charming baby child laying by her side. And she called Nanda Maharaj, and there was a glorious, glorious celebration where all the residents of Vrindavan, they performed great, great festivities, Nandotsava. Everyone was dancing and singing, and Brahmins were chanting mantras, and Nanda Maharaj was offering gifts of cows and jewels and grains to all of the exalted persons. And everyone was simply blissful to celebrate the advent of the child of Nanda. And who is this Krishna? It is so wonderful. Although he appeared as a very ordinary baby child, he was manifesting the supreme power of the absolute controller of all existence. When he was just an infant, just to charm the residents of Vrindavan, he was not even able to crawl. He wasn't even able to properly see, according to the devotees around him. He was just an ordinary, helpless infant child. And Yashoda Mai, she was thinking, if I do not regularly nourish him with the milk from my body, this child will become sick and perhaps die. How beautiful was little Bal Gopal. Not the beauty of the majestic Lord of the universe, but the sweet Madhurya Ras, the beauty of an innocent little helpless baby child. Kamsa sent the great Rakshashi, Putana, to destroy all children. Because Kamsa was told that the child has been born elsewhere. Putana was a witch. She had such power. And she was innocently murdering and drinking the blood of so many children everywhere. She was a terrorist. She would disguise herself, come into a place, and kill every child in the area. She came to Gokul and disguised herself as a beautiful, beautiful lady. And everyone trusted her. And she placed little baby Krishna on her lap. Krishna was just a helpless little child. Putana was so attracted to his beauty. But at the same time, she knew it was her duty to kill him. So she gave Krishna her breast to suck the milk. And this little Krishna, he not only sucked the milk, but he sucked the very life from Putana. And as he was sucking Putana, she manifested her original form. It was approximately 12 miles in size. And Krishna was just hanging on. He remained his little infant size, and he kept sucking. And there was nothing she could do to take him away. And ultimately she fell to the ground and died. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. This is Krishna. Even from his infancy, he had all the power of the absolute truth. On another time, Yashoda was told by Balaram that Krishna has eaten dirt. All of my friends have witnessed this. Yashoda, being very concerned, what would you mothers feel if you heard that your child was eating dirt in a secluded place? You would be very worried. So she looked within Krishna's mouth, and upon seeing the inside of his mouth, she was able to witness the entire universal creation. All of the planets, all of the mountains, oceans, rivers, all living entities, all demigods, all within the little mouth of Krishna. Krishna would sometimes steal the butter from Yashoda, and Yashoda would bind him with a rope, trying to protect him from the dangers of the monkeys and the birds and the thorns in the ground. But that same little Krishna, who agreed to be bound by the ropes of Yashoda, when Indra sent his torrents of rain, he lifted the entire mountain called Govardhan. Today, it is 21 kilometers just to walk around Govardhan Hill. And it was far larger in size at that time. But Krishna, when he was but a child of 7 years, he lifted that Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand and held it for 7 days effortlessly. That is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Krishna was holding the Govardhan Hill, the residents of Vrindavan, they were thinking, impossible that he's doing this. We cannot believe it, because he's our child. So they picked up sticks, and they were putting it under Govardhan Hill, and they were thinking that actually they were the ones doing. This is Krishna. Shri Giridhari Bhagavan Ki. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna manifested his universal form as the almighty feature of time, the devourer of everything that exists, right before Arjuna. Krishna, when he speaks Bhagavad Gita, we should understand it is not the opinion of a philosopher. We must understand Gita in this spirit, that it is the divine words of the absolute truth. Therefore, we must accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. No person has the right to interpret the word of God. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. It is that supreme, all-opulent personality that speaks Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, it is not like the books of philosophy or science that we find in the universities today, where people are giving their hypothesis, their discoveries, or their opinions. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani chajana babashani chabhutani mamtu vedana kashtana. Krishna knows everything past, present, and future. He knows everything and everyone that exists. He is the ultimate primal manufacturer of all material and spiritual worlds. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam prabhartate. All spiritual and material worlds are emanating from Krishna. The wise who know this perfectly worship him with all their hearts. So therefore, when we hear Bhagavad Gita as it is, from a devotee of Krishna, we should understand that the teachings of Gita are not subjected to interpretation or argumentation. The Lord Himself has documented the truth of reality in this scripture. And if we simply hear it submissively, with the spirit to follow these instructions and apply them to our life, we can achieve the ultimate perfection of liberating our souls from all illusion, which is the cause of all pain, and enter into the realm of supreme truth, Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the original consciousness within every living being. And Krishna has descended, and he has spoke the Bhagavad Gita to teach us how to reawaken our original, natural, spiritual consciousness. Janmashtami's real glory is when we understand who is Krishna and what is our relationship with Krishna and how to act in that relationship. Krishna is the Supreme God, the all-attractive object of everyone's love. He is Bhagavan because he possesses all opulences perfectly. All beauty, all knowledge, all strength, all wealth, all fame, and all renunciation. Those qualities that attract every type of person within this world have their source and their completeness in Krishna. Just like the cloud takes water from the ocean, and then it moves to the top of a mountain, and then it pours the water, and the water enters into the river, and then that river goes back into the ocean. We are all coming from Krishna. The object of all of our love is Krishna. And the purpose of life is to understand how to again redirect our love, our affection, our attraction toward Krishna. And that is bhakti. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We are His eternal servants. And bhakti or devotional service is the means by which we can reciprocate and again perfect our lives in our natural position. When we understand these principles in tattva or truth, then we could actually celebrate Janmashtami for the pleasure of Krishna. When you say happy birthday to someone, but you are displeasing them in every way, that greeting is not very significant to the object of our reverence. But when we are pleasing that person and dear to that person, and we say happy birthday to you, that gives great bliss to the person because it is an expression of our love. To live our life in sincere devotion to Krishna is what pleases Krishna. And when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. Similarly, when we satisfy Krishna, our heart becomes ultimately filled with love and spiritual pleasure. Eternal pleasure. And we have gathered here tonight to inspire, enliven each other to seek this goal of always remembering Krishna with devotion. The perfection of our consciousness is to remember Krishna with devotion. And Lord Krishna descends in every age. In this age of Kali Yuga, that same Krishna with all of his beauty and opulences has come in the form of Lord Chaitanya to teach us the Yuga Dharma, the practical, simple method by which all of us could remember Krishna and awaken our natural love for him. In this very life, whether we are grihasthas with children, or whether we are children with parents, or whether we are in the renounced order, these things are not to be taken into consideration. What is to be considered is everyone and anyone can perfect their lives by living in harmony with the will of God. And His will is that we come together on such wonderful occasions as tonight in the association of devotees, and we hear the glories of the Lord, and we chant His glories, and sing His holy names. And we make our homes into temples, into holy ashrams, where we raise our families in a spirit of devotion and purity. And we try to enlighten whoever possibly opens their hearts to hear this divine message. Lord Chaitanya gave very simple instructions. Worship Krishna. Chant the names of Krishna. Tell others about Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your real wealth and treasure. Krishna is your very life and soul. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Krishna descends in the beautiful sound of His name. When we chant the holy name of Krishna sincerely, the presence of Krishna manifests within our hearts and purifies us of all unwanted desires, attachments, and illusions. And in the pure state that comes through gradually chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord's names, we gradually awaken our love for Krishna, Krishna consciousness, which is the supreme treasure, greatest wealth, and ultimate longing of the soul. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.